Good morning, and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Chris.
And good morning, Bob.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. Whoops, one second.
You know, Bob, I was just noticing that we're on assignment number 275, so
Wow.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah, definitely. All right, here is assignment. What does wisdom mean to you? And here's our first caller. You're live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Patty from Vancouver.
Hello, Patty.
Hi. I continue to put myself in the queue, but I don't necessarily do each question every day. So
Okay.
I fully admit that.
All right. That's
And I'm
great.
not going to let ego keep me from coming on the air. But
Yeah.
if I were to answer that question just off the top, I've had experiences. I had an experience on retreat where, I had a tight shoulder and it just dissolved. It was nothing I did. It was nothing. So it was like there was some kind of knot in my brain or in that dissolved, and that was wisdom.
Yeah, and so when the knot in the brain dissolved, it dissolved the knot in your shoulder. Is
In
that kind of what
physically, yeah, that's exactly it. Like,
physically?
yeah.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah.
didn't do anything. It was wisdom came of its own accord by me just showing up and being there is how I would say it.
Yeah. And in that then, Patty, part of what you're pointing to, it seems, is that wisdom is a process that we in some way avail ourselves to,
Right.
and then there it is.
It's not me trying. It's not me thinking it through or trying or,
Exactly.
listening to
Exactly.
any conversation. It's just sitting and allowing things to come. And my job is to recognize, is this ego or is this wisdom?
Yeah, perfectly stated. Yeah. And we can guess too that the trying to have that wisdom come in is just going to tighten both of those knots. It's going to tighten the knot in the head and it's going to tighten the knot in the shoulder, right?
That's
Just because
correct.
it's kind of braced against wisdom in some sense. And like you say, once we surrender to it, then there it is. It just shows up and does its
Yeah.
magic.
Like I just hear so often from Sherry about, just be with the present and things will come up that, oh, this idea or that thing. And so that's certainly been the case for me as I've been working through the Africa project and the technology issues that I've had and setting it up, and then through the days, just this kind of wisdom of, oh, you haven't talked to this person, you could email it to them. That just came up. I wasn't trying to think of who am I going to send this to, and
Yeah,
so
it just dropped in. Yeah.
it just dropped in. So I that's just sort of something bubbling up in there that is not me trying, I guess.
Yeah, there's no I in there.
That's right.
Yeah, trying to have things be different than things are, right? Not wanting anything to be different than it actually is. And in
Yeah.
that surrender, then we're available for that wisdom to come on through.
That's right. So
And as you
that's
were,
my leading
oh, go
edge in
ahead.
practice. Right
Leading
now,
edge in practice, yes.
yes, it's to
So
let.
essentially to stay in that place where you are availing yourself to that wisdom in each moment.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
and for me there's not there, I don't know if this would be another component to it, but just as you were talking, this was dropping in that because we talk about awareness practice, and what we're practicing is presence, and that through that almost everything in life that we would ever want or that we would call valuable becomes available to us in that same way that you just described wisdom, right? So
Mm-hmm.
we're practicing being present, and then in that, life delivers all these other goods, you could say, right? And we don't really have much choice in as to what those are. We just know that whatever it is, it's going to be pretty fabulous, right? So in one moment, it might be wisdom that life is moving us towards. In another moment, it might be patience or compassion or unconditional love or just all these various things. And we become that kind of instrument of life in that way, right? When that wisdom drops in to write that email to a particular person and we're there to receive that, then we just move into that place of being that being the instrument of life. And, that's the next step. I can do that email.
And just being open to what happens when you write that email, and maybe you'll get a response, maybe you won't. And that's okay.
We're still in that place of all of it being okay. It's all
right.
Just right. Fine, exactly like it is.
Right.
Because we don't know. It's like conditioning has this assumes that you know the way life is going to go is it's a straight line from where I am to where I want to be.
Yeah.
Right.
You
don't have to be. You don't have to be on the planet very long to know that that just doesn't happen. Right. That it's often a zigzag line between here and some location that I never imagined I would show up in. And like that. And so that presence is what reveals that whole process to us. And then we can enjoy that, whatever that line is, if it's a straight line or a zigzag line, we can be there and just enjoying the dickens out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we have some excitement about, gee, I don't know what's going to happen, but this could be fun.
Yeah, right. We can all be on the edge of our seats.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
All right,
thank you,
Patty.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Patty. And Chris, as I was listening to that, what was dropping in for me at least was that how much conditioning wants us to believe that there is like a, like that I can come up with an idea of this is the outcome I want and this is the timeline that's going to come out. And surely life kind of shows over and over again that that isn't so. But when I'm willing to drop that and, you know, as Patty was talking about it, not necessarily kind of working on her Bridgewalk project, but just she had it in her awareness that this is something that she's focused on. And then these people that she could reach out to just kind of dropped in. And it just seems like such a much more kind, compassionate, maybe more aligned with life way of approaching it.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm reminded of, because there is that assumption that, you know, I think we talked about this the other day, that if ego's not in control, that nothing's going to happen. Right? And so we need to give our lives over to ego to make sure that everything comes out all right. And in that experience that you've just been outlining, it's like, well, it just gets proven over and over and over again that life has our best interests at heart all the time and does such a great job, you know, not only our best interests, but it's that place of what's most compassionate for all and just tracks on that in a way that's just astounding. Yeah,
and it could be confusing as we're going along, right? Because we might get the outcome that we wanted out from the outset, and then, you know, we're looking for conditioning about how to get there. And then I could be in this belief that, well, that process does lead it to the right outcome. But that's just, you know, leaving my attention and my awareness on conditioning because I've essentially abandoned this human and probably other humans around this human as I went about trying to make that outcome happen.
Yeah, great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky stuff, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Very subtle, yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, good morning, Chris and Bob. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hey, Sherry, good morning.
Good morning. Wow, I'm loving this conversation. And a couple things for me. One is, I am so grateful for those words, drop in, you know, that we've been using for years, because those feel like the, the secret message or the secret knowledge. Uh-huh. Like whenever something drops in, to me, I just know that's life.
Yeah, it's got a signature to it in some sense, right? That we can recognize,
yes.
we can calibrate to, as we talk about, and really get it. Okay, that's how it feels to have wisdom come through, an insight dropping in, an intuition, those kinds of things.
And I'm just I don't think I've ever really stopped and been, truly just grateful for that in our practice, that those specific words have, I think literally changed my life over the years I've been using them, because they've been what's helped me to understand the difference between figuring it out and life giving me wisdom.
Yeah. Well, that's such a great point. And I think that's one of the things that this practice does extremely well, is that the language used to describe an experience is really particular, because it just comes right out of the experience. I don't know if I'm describing that well.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
And because it really does point, the words really point to the experience that's there, rather than something, like we could say, what comes up for me. That was one thing, that was one that was popular before dropped in happened.
Yes,
and then that experience of really looking at that, when we all really sit down and check that out, we can go, no, actually, it's dropping in. It's actually not coming up. It's actually dropping in, and it really feels that way. And there's just a certain accuracy in that that's really, really helpful. All of the language of practice is that way, really fine-tuned to experience, so that, if the language is the finger pointing at the moon, then, we're not off the mark by much.
Oh, yes, that's perfect. And, the other thing I just wanted to say quickly, because I don't know if I've ever, this dropped in during the conversation with the last caller, and I don't know if this ever dropped in for me before, but the word no separation came in when you were talking to the last caller, and I saw that was my experience too. When things drop in, there's no me thinking them separate from life giving it.
Again, you just have availed yourself to the process of wisdom expressing.
Yes. Oh, that's exactly it. Yeah, wisdom expressing. And that's how I know, even though I'm not sure I quite would have said it that way even, 15 minutes ago, but that's how I know the difference when I'm thinking about something or, figuring it out or imagining I'm having wisdom. There's a me thinking it.
Yeah, there's an I there thinking that it's wise.
Right. So deep gratitude. This is such a wonderful, wonderful conversation to help me. I just feel like it's anchoring it all in even more deeply for me.
Good, good. Yeah, and in saying that, there really is, we can step back and see how in the conditioned world there are symmetrical components for everything in life. So in life there is that process of wisdom and wisdom expressing. And then in the conditioned world, kind of the pseudo process for that is knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an I there that has the knowledge, and so it's really all related to content, and it's kind of, you could kind of look at it like frozen knowledge in some sense. Frozen knowledge would be frozen wisdom. And if we're not looking carefully, we can mistake that for wisdom.
Oh, Chris, that is really powerful. That is really powerful. I see what you mean. Right, because as soon as it drops in, it is just wisdom expressing itself, but then we're on to the next moment. And if I try to capture that, who knows?
Who knows
what
exactly
comes from that?
I hadn't quite gone there with it, but that's exactly so. It's from the ending suffering recitation. We're not here to create and cling to beliefs, that as soon as an insight drops in one moment, then you know, the truth has no application, I guess, is part of the way we talk about it.
Yeah.
What conditioning are we looking to do is to change that into, it's going to freeze it into knowledge instead of keeping us in that place of just letting the wisdom come through.
Wow. Yeah. I've got to, yeah, right after this call, I've got to make a recording about that. That is really helpful. Thank
Very
you.
Fun.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
yeah. Show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry, and I love that conversation, Chris. And what was dropping in for me as we were talking is that, well, you know, it's kind of like the difference. Like when I was working on a project recently where I wasn't really working on it, but an idea just kind of dropped in about it, right? And what I noticed about the quality of it was that there was suddenly this energy, and I was lit up suddenly. And it was no longer about the project. It was no longer about results. It was just about being kind of there in that moment. And that seems like just the perfect way to kind of translate that the faith into, wow, that is how it works.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, I was going to... So there's that, whatever that is that drops in, so there's the, it's kind of like the what part of it, like, okay, here's the next step, and then with it comes the energy to do it. It's like, you know, being in life is just so miraculous in that way.
Right, and there doesn't have to be like a figuring out of the next step, because when, at least for me, like when I'm in that energy, it just appears. How do we move forward with this, you know, whatever is going on at the moment?
Yeah, and exactly so. You know, we're so trained to noodle things and believe that is what's going to result in the next step, and like you say, it's not. You know, life just drops it in, and the noodling can keep us from it, which I'm certain is why conditioning puts us up to it on such a regular basis.
Yeah, I certainly know that noodling well enough.
Yeah, really. Yeah, we can all
we know where
relate.
That is.
Yeah.
Alrighty, here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey. Well, that woke me up.
There's nothing like you're unmuted to bring you right to the moment. And it's like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I'm here now. Okay.
That's the reason to be in the queue. You're more present in the queue to start with, and then when the unmuted thing happens,
then you're there. I've been noticing that first conditioning tried to answer the question about what wisdom was, and conditioning has it attached to people, like there's wise people. And they have the wisdom. But
With the emphasis on the they.
Yeah, definitely.
Meaning, right, you don't, they do.
They have it, I don't have it.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it, and I just, it's more that wisdom is a quality that you can access, and anybody can access it. It's not, it doesn't belong to anybody, just like love. It doesn't belong to anybody, it's just, something you can tap into when you've got the small self out of the way.
Yeah, it's not personal, because that's what the small self wants to make it. It's personal. I know something.
Right.
Yeah. I can be that wise person. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it's like this sought after thing, you know, that somebody's going to have or something like that. But really, it just seems like it's something that's available to everyone. And you know, sometimes in our culture, or some cultures, will say, well, you know, older people are wise, but, you know, they don't have any more access to it than a younger person would.
Yeah. They've had a few more years to take shots at it than...
Right.
they
might have access to it.
Yeah, you're right. And that's exactly right. They might. But there's no guarantee in any of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the... You know, with conditioning, the emphasis is always on content. You know, so like yesterday's question, you know, what is you know, what was the question from yesterday? Describe your spiritual life. So you
right.
could say, well, you know, but let's use your social life. So describe your social life. And it's all about content. Well, you know, I went out to lunch here. I did this with this person. I did that with that person. You know, that's the answer to that question. It's all of that. But not about the process of being social. And
right.
It's the same thing with wisdom. In the beginning, if we ask conditioned mind, then, you know, there's facts and efficiencies and conveniences that it puts forward as being wise, but they're really all just kind of content variations, and
yeah.
They miss that sense, like you're describing, that sense of wisdom being a process.
Yeah, and it's something I recognize, but I don't, conditioning doesn't make it happen. It's just something that I recognize when I come upon it, whether it's
mm-hmm.
from me or someone else.
Yeah, 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 exactly, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? So it really hints at the joy of intelligence knowing itself,
mm-hmm.
right? That there's wisdom, mm-hmm. and then there's this other faculty that recognizes the wisdom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that
kind
angle.
Kind of a fun little thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that I can only get recognized if one is unself-conscious with the self in quotes.
Yeah. Yeah, but the attention can't be on conditioned mind with that, right? The mind can't be yeah. occupied with a conversation. You know, it just seems so obvious in that place, right? That if it is, there's no, you know, you get a sense of the, you know, life just with all of this wisdom kind of pounding on the person in all directions, but there's a conversation going on that's just repelling it all at every moment. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just drowning it out. Can't hear it.
Drowning it out. Can't hear it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly so. That's the still small voice is the way that's described.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
even if it does slip through, and I'm sure we've all had this experience, though a little bit of wisdom slips through, and we get it, it drops in the way we talk about it, as the still small voice, then the voices of conditioning just come in afterwards and crank up the volume in an attempt to grab the attention back and really negate any kind of effect that might have had, any kind of opening
right.
that might have created. And
yeah, it just you know, tells you that wasn't wisdom or
yeah, you can't
critique.
You're not going to, you know, all that stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you for the wake up.
Oh, you bet. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Jennifer. And Chris, I'm going to try and get us on another caller for today.
All right. Great.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Aloha. This is Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Hi. Wow, what a great show this has been. It's so opening for me. So how I did this exercise was I just brought to mind people who I projected possessed the qualities of wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
And wrote those down, and then I looked in the dictionary to see what, you know, the prevailing thoughts are on wisdom.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of overlap there. Basically, the dictionary definition was knowledge and experience and good judgment. And I could see how knowledge and experience would lead to good judgment, you know, good in quotation marks. But what came together as like the common denominator in all of the wise people was
uh-huh.
presence and compassion. And I
uh-huh.
think I saw that everything else came from that, you know, the knowledge and the experience and
yeah.
judgments. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That presence and compassion had to be there to start with, and then everything else followed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like it was the foundation.
Like the foundation. Yeah. Yeah. And I really appreciate the way that you started that off with essentially owning all of those projections. Right? So kind of conjuring up all the wise people and then examining what that was. So what is that, that the wisdom that's being, you know, what is that that's actually being projected onto these people, right? And then pulling that experience back into your own body, back into your own experience, and examining it, and then coming up with, well, yeah, it's presence. And, that the source of all of that wisdom and compassion was actually with the person doing the projection.
And what that led me to was, because there are some, you know, what I would consider wise people who I really trust in my life, and so, as you say, to bring that back around again, it's like I can trust life living through me.
That in that compassion and that wisdom is really all the support a person would ever need to be fully in life, right?
Yes, exactly.
Something along those lines?
Exactly so.
Yeah, and it really is one of those places of, because we're so conditioned to turn to the conversation and conditioned mind, right, like we always talk about, and that for the longest time, that's the only thing that we've ever known. You know, that's been the source of what life is like. You know, when we needed to have answers, that's where we would turn, and we did whatever we did in those places. And now this other option is being presented to us, and we're having those experiences of wisdom and compassion expressing themselves, you know, through us, and the support that's in that. And over time, it really is a place that we can, that we begin to trust that it will always be there for us, and that life will always be supporting us in that way. And then we can, more completely let go of any kind of reference to egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
It's such a fascinating process, isn't it?
Oh my, it really is, isn't it? Yeah, and amazing that in this place always for me that this practice exists, you know, that someone actually has gone before us and can point all these things out. It's like, oh my gosh, how long would I have had to sit on my little cushion here to be able to get to this place that's just been so readily made available.
Right. Yes. And welcoming.
Yeah. To boot. Welcoming to boot. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Chris, I just love that conversation. And one of the things I was looking at was that it's just great with that question of like, what does wisdom mean to you? You know, there has to be, when I kind of see it out in the world, you know, like someone who has said something or something that kind of resonates with me, there has to be someone, I could just stay in that projection, right? Or I could own it. And it seems like that's what practice kind of offers us, is that opportunity to own it. I can't recognize something that I don't know to be so for myself.
Exactly. Yeah. Conditioning is just really sneaky that way, isn't it? I mean, so so there's wisdom that's just everywhere around us. I mean, that's kind of what life is doing all the time. There's just that wisdom everywhere. And so the way it hides it is it just hides it in these other bodies and gets us to believe that, well, it's out there and not in here. And like you say, at some point we can begin to, as you say, get that notion of projection, really check in with that and then recall all of those things that are out there that these other people seem to have that I don't. So that's just another conditioned lie.
Definitely. Alrighty, well, that brings us to the end of this show. And let's see, our assignment for today, list some wise things you've heard. How do you apply this wisdom in your life, RL?
All right, very good.
All right. Thank you, Chris. We'll see everyone tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.